This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on our book club pick, Leadership as an Identity by Crawford Loritz. We are in chapter 6. We're still in part 1 of the book, so it's not too late to join us. I try to do all of these episodes in a way in which it provides value even if you aren't reading the book. But if you are somebody who is in leadership or feels called to leadership, I don't care if you're a new leader or you've been leading for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I don't care if you're new to the faith, or you've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit your whole entire life. This book has so much meat. I am thoroughly enjoying it. And so I want you to get this book. I do cover a lot and I read a lot from the book, but I want you to read it for yourself as well. Again, every leader needs to have this book. And I'm going to stand 10 toes down on that unless I read something that makes me change my mind. But today we're going to be diving into chapter 6, which is called Seasons of Brokenness. We're coming up on the end of part 1, and part 1 is all about brokenness, which is one of the identity characteristics of Christian leaders that he has identified based upon his years and years of work in this space. Before we get there, I have something very exciting I want to tell you guys about. I don't know if you remember, if you've been listening to the show for a while, last year I did the Christian Content Creator Town Hall. And this was a virtual event where it was myself and some guests where, first and foremost, I wanted to have a real conversation about Christian content creators. I wanted to have a real conversation with people that the Lord has called to create in this online space, whether it's social media, whether it's podcasting, whether it's YouTube. I wanted to have a serious discussion because I feel like there are a lot of ways in which we can miss the mark in this online space. And more importantly, I feel like there are a lot of people who the Lord has called, but fear, maybe lack of resources, maybe lack of information has kept them from entering this space. And I also, at that time, introduced my mentorship program, the Purpose to Podcast program, where I mentor new or established podcasters to launch or grow their shows. And I'm excited because my program is opening back up. and I am doing only one cohort this year. I have a lot going on in the second half of the year with school and some personal things that are exciting that's happening. And so it limits me from being able to do multiple cohorts. So I'm going to have one cohort this year, and I really want to make it count. So if you feel the Lord is calling you to podcasting, if you need information, if you need mentorship, and in today's day and age, there's no lack of information. You could Google how to start a podcast and we'll get 10 steps to get your RSS feed set up and your first episode out. There's no shortage of information on that. But what I found in my 8 years of podcasting myself, 5 or 6 years of helping people and hundreds of shows that I've helped launch, grow, and monetize over the years, the one thing that every show is missing is strategy. And that's where I thrive. And that's how we've been able to help so many shows for so long. One thing that every Christian entrepreneur needs, in my opinion, and what's especially needed in this season as the space becomes more saturated, is mentorship. Because I had the benefit when I started of there not being really not that many podcasts, period. Way less Christian podcasts. I had the benefit of Christian entrepreneurship not even really being a thing. So I was able to start out ahead just based upon me standing out in the marketplace. But these days, those who are starting out, you have a lot of voices that you are competing with. And it's that much more important that you stay connected to the Lord and you have someone helps you keep the main thing and can mentor you through this process, because there are so many opportunities to get distracted, to get held back, to try to copy what other people are doing. The enemy has a lot to work with in this space. And so I've seen growth both personally as well as in the platforms of those that I've mentored over the last year. And I am so excited to bring on a new group. So if you're interested in working with me in particular, you know, it's a lot of people you could work with, but I want you to be sure that you feel led for me to pour into you. I want you to join me for my Christian Content Creator Town Hall that's coming up in a few weeks. The link will be in the show notes for you to register. I believe that every time I get on the microphone, I want to do the Lord a good service and not just be selling my stuff, but also show up and give value in each individual space. So I'm excited about this town hall because, yes, I'm going to introduce my program, but also I have something very important to share with those of you who are called to this space, whether you work with me or not. So myself and my speakers have a lot of value that we want to pour into you. The event is completely free. You could click the link in the show notes to learn more and to register. All right. So back to this book, Chapter 6, Seasons of Brokenness. The reason why I advocate for this book so much is I feel like it approaches the topic of leadership from such a refreshingly honest perspective. It adds language to temptations, to struggles, to seasons and tests that the Lord puts us through as leaders that we may not vocally talk about outside of our individual circles. I believe that it is such a sobering reality that could be refreshing to people who feel that they're called to leadership or who are new in leadership roles, because the things that's discussed in this book, when you read it and you internalize it and you study the scriptures, once you approach these different seasons, you won't take it as hard, right? And I love that he spent so much time on brokenness specifically, because I feel like in our immaturity, a lot of times we get into these seasons of difficulties or these seasons of suffering, and then we start asking the wrong questions like, why did this happen to me? God, why are you punishing me? What did I do? We get into this woe is me pessimistic mindset as if God ever said that it was all going to be roses, as if he ever said that we were never going to go through things. And I think that we can understand that on an intellectual level. Like, of course, life isn't going to be perfect, but I don't think that we have truly internalized the fact that not only is suffering or brokenness a part of the journey, but it's also a form of God's protection. It's a way in which God reminds us that we can do nothing without him. And it brings to our awareness or to the forefront of our mind that we have to be dependent on the Lord, that we need him. And that is so necessary for us on this journey. So brokenness and suffering, it doesn't feel good, but it's necessary. And if we embrace it and we utilize it, and we also are self-aware enough to realize when we're moving from that surrender or brokenness over to self-sufficiency and pride, if we could have enough self-awareness to be able to recognize that, then that's going to make us better leaders. The first place that I have highlighted here is he says, God has a way of letting us know that life is not about us, that we are not the one in control. God will do whatever it takes to remind us that there is never a single second in our lives where we can make it on our own. So he takes us through seasons and episodes of brokenness to keep us under his shadow and to tie our hearts to his. And in order for him to trust us, sometimes he has to break us. He says, I think this is especially true in the lives of those whom God has called into leadership. Because of the insistent, perpetual pull we feel toward pride, we find ourselves having to crucify our flesh and intentionally dismantling pride's mastery over our lives and our choices. If we don't do it, God will. As author Randy Alcorn writes, when we start thinking we're special, that we've earned people's respect, that we have a lot to offer, then we become proud. That means that God is opposed to us and we are operating outside of the grace that he only gives to the humble. That makes us a fall waiting to happen. And then he quotes Proverbs 16:18, which says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I underline this part that he said here twice. It says, because of the insistent, perpetual pull we feel toward pride, we find ourselves having to crucify our flesh and intentionally dismantling pride's mastery over our lives and our choices. If we don't do it, God will. If you've been walking with the Lord long enough, you know what it feels like when the Lord humbles you. When I did the testimony episode at the beginning of the year and I talked about the journey specifically with the studio, I felt like that was a season of the Lord really breaking me and clearing out the pride that was left in my heart. And I have this part double underlined because I don't care who you are. If you are somebody that is called to leadership, you got your business, you're in ministry, you're at work, in charge of people, whatever the case may be, there is always going to be a pull towards pride. That temptation of pride is always right there waiting for you to take your eyes off the Lord. Always. And we could play around if we want to and try to think because I'm blessing all these people and all of these great things are happening, I'm helping here and helping here, that somehow you did that. You could play around and get comfortable if you want to. Pride will be right there waiting for an opportunity to slip in. I discuss often that I believe a best practice for Christian leaders is to be mindful or pay attention to what your reactions reveal about you, because that's going to show you areas in your heart and your emotions or in your mind that you need to submit to the Lord. If I'm honest, there have been times over the course of my journey where I've reached certain accomplishments and I'm like, man, God is good. I'm giving him the glory. But my chest poked out a little bit too. On the inside, I was like, man, I did that. And then that self-esteem, which is okay. My friend talked about this in a society on our prayer call this week, where she said it's the difference between self-esteem and confidence, that we're supposed to have self-esteem, but we're not supposed to be confident in ourselves. We're supposed to be confident in the Lord. And that was such a good point. And I believe that that was a way in which that I personally was leaving room for the enemy, because I'm someone where historically I would say I have self-confidence. I believe in my ability to accomplish things. I've always done it. I am an overachiever by nature, so I got a good resume. I have degrees. I've always excelled at work. I've excelled in business. I've excelled in personal endeavors. I've accomplished everything that was on my little list of things to do. So I had an element of self-confidence based upon what I've been able to do in my life. And I was confusing that for a long time with self-esteem. It's okay for me to value and perceive myself well. It's okay that I think that Tatum is great, but it's not okay if my confidence is in that. because that's pride. That's where the enemy can come in and be like, oh, yeah. With her mouth, she's giving God the glory. But let me plant that seed to make her think that she got some say so in this, so that I could push her little by little. See, the enemy, he is very cunning. He's very patient and very meticulous and intentional about how he attacks us. And so for me, it was like, okay, let me, yeah, she cool. But here's an opportunity to plant a little bit of that seed there. Here's an opportunity for me to push her towards self-reliance. Here's an opportunity to make her so busy that she uses her own judgment versus taking a step back and seeking the Lord for something. And so for me, I believe over that year where a lot was happening, y'all heard that episode, if not, go back. During that year, what I was realizing about my reaction to situations was that there's some pride still in here. And by here, I mean, I'm pointing at my heart. And I had to sit under that suffering of that season, because not only did I need to trust the Lord and see this through and how he was going to work out the particular situation, but I also needed to sit and let the Lord work on me. That situation pruned me something serious, because I realized I still had that chip on my shoulder of when I was 24 years old and I told the partner at the last job I had before I left that I was going to start my own business. And he told me, don't you think that you're too young for that? You can't do this or you can't do that. I still had that chip on my shoulder. I still had the chip on my shoulder when I was telling people about my business and they were confused. I had that chip on the shoulder when I would meet friends or colleagues of my husband and say, oh, I have a podcast, and they looking at me like, so you don't got a real job? Okay. So I still had that chip on my shoulder of ways in which my ego has been bruised over the years. And now, because I've experienced success, yes, I'm giving God the glory for it, but there's still something in me that is like, yes, I gotcha, to all the naysayers. And that's not okay. Y'all don't see that, but the Lord saw it. And he put me through the process that I needed to be put through in order to heal me of that. And I thank God that my pride has never gotten to the point where I've had to be severely humbled, but I can recognize ways in which the enemy was slowly pushing me into the wrong way, and how the Lord had to remind me, hey, apart from me, you can do nothing. So I say all that to say, and I'm being honest with you, because this is a reality of leadership. This is a reality as you grow, as you accomplish more things, as the Lord does more and more things through you, that there's always going to be that temptation of pride. How pride tempts us is going to be different for us individually, but pride in its many forms is going to be there waiting to see how to get you off track. So if you as a leader can make it a practice to consistently crucify your flesh, then that's exactly where you need to be. And I could tell you that comes with slowing down, that comes with being uncompromising about your time with the Lord, that comes with separating yourself from how the world does things. A lot of us, we spend more time in the world than we do in our word, than we do with the Lord, than we do in true, safe Christian spaces. And then we get surprised while we react and act the way that the world does. We're a product of our environment. So we have to choose which environment are we going to allow ourselves to be a product of. And as a leader, you don't have a choice but to maintain a dwelling place of the Lord, period. I have highlighted here, he says, God knows the hearts of leaders. If we are in this for fame, money, or power over people, including the power of ego feeding and sexual seduction, God knows, and he will bring his hand of judgment upon us. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's Hebrews 10:31. He says, but if we are broken, humble, quick to admit and confess our weaknesses and sins, he will shed his grace upon us, comfort us, and empower us. Then and only then will we be Christ-like and Christ-exalting. Then and only then will we be leaders worth following. This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. One of the core values in the Iomi K household is education. My husband and I are lifelong learners, and we believe in using education to help set our kids up for success. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. What I love about IXL Learning is that it creates this immersive experience, so learning feels like play. And for me, someone with young children, that's extremely important because we want to help our kids cultivate a love for learning. And what better way to do that than making it fun? This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. It'll also work for any of your kids. It's powered by algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter what age or personality. It saves you time because one subscription gets you everything. It saves you money because if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact in your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony. A formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. He says, I've seen this at work in my own life, especially during the early years of my ministry. The combination of a few early successes and a little recognition can make a young man feel as if he's a lot better than he really is, and that the cause of Christ is really privileged to have what he has to offer. Ain't that a statement? It doesn't take much to become intoxicated with yourself. So God introduces us to the cure for pride. A series of circumstances in which we get acquainted with pain and our inadequacy. He says pride is proprietary. It wants to own what belongs to God. Brokenness is God's way of showing us that he owns our lives and he gets the glory for what he does through us. In the last episode, I talked about a new perspective on the weight. I believe that there also needs to be a new perspective on brokenness, because God breaking us is God's love for us, because God disciplined those that he loves. God loves us so much that he will not allow pride to overtake us. So he does what is necessary according to him, because he's in charge. He does what is necessary to get us to that place where we're reminded of our inadequacies and we are operating from a way of glorifying him and not ourselves. Any of you, if you are in a broken season, I want you to change your perspective. And I want you to rejoice in this season and lock in to this season, because God has you there for a reason. It doesn't feel good, like most suffering doesn't. But at the same time, it's necessary, because what feels worse is being separated from him. Think about when you went through brokenness before you were saved and after. Let me tell you something. Every difficult season, every season of suffering, every season of brokenness that I have gone through since giving my life to Christ is still 10 times better than anything that I went through beforehand. Going through life and just tough times without the Lord, there's a level of despair, of hopelessness that feels inescapable. But when you go through these seasons with the Lord, there's still an opportunity for joy in them. There's still comfort in them. There's still love in them. And there's purpose in it. Because if he allowed it, then it's for a reason and we can trust that. So I just want to offer through this book, as we're talking about this, I want to just kind of turn it a bit to those who may find themselves in that season of brokenness and challenge you to look at it as an opportunity for you to be molded into something new, for you to speak the way that Paul does in Philippians 3, 7 through 10, which is what he brings up here in this book. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. And actually, I'm just going to start at verse 1 so that you can hear his perspective as a whole versus just that one part. Philippians 3, starting at verse 1, he says, whatever happens, and this is Paul, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the one who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on this earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. I read all of chapter 3. the book zeroed in on chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. But when I went to read it for myself, I'm like, man, I have to read this whole entire chapter, because it is my prayer personally. God, let me have the disposition that Paul has in his text. Let me be so unimpressed with myself and unimpressed with everything around me. And let me just be focused on you. Let me not get worried about what's happening just in this life. Yeah, I'm in it and there are things going on, things I have to attend to. But God, let me be able to live well and maneuver appropriately without focusing solely on what's happening in this life. Let me have an eternal perspective with everything that you have blessed me to put my hands to, Lord God. Like, this is my prayer as I'm reading this, because I felt what Paul was saying. Like, he's somebody who is very accomplished. As he said, I got circumcised when I was 8 days old. I kept the law. I have credentials. You can't put your resume up to mine. And even with all of that, it is worthless. Period. I'm trying to suffer with him who suffered for me. Ain't that think about that. We be complaining about how broken this feels, but he has this attitude of, I'm trying to suffer like who suffered for me. Jesus was God and man. He suffered for me, for you. He willingly and voluntarily suffered. So I want to willingly and voluntarily suffer and be broken for the glory of the one who loved me enough to do so for me. That's the least that I can do. So I read that whole thing so that you could hear. I don't know, like I told y'all in the last episode, I like to really sit in the text and immerse myself in it so that I can internalize it and I could just really admire where Paul was coming from. And in my prayer after reading it, I'm like, God, allow me to have this same disposition. And I believe that this is also the same point that the author is making in this chapter, especially because he introduced the text, is that this is that posture that we have to have as leaders. I have another part highlighted here that says, God wants everything that we do as leaders and the way in which we do it to reflect the image of his son. This is our driving force, our holy aspiration in all things. But in order to get there, for example, increasingly more of him and less of us, he has to break us. Much like the shepherd who breaks the leg of the sheep that wanders off on his own, God breaks us so that we know that we are being carried by him. And that is a sweet, wonderful, safe space to be. He said, this is the lesson that the patriarch Jacob learned during a dark and lonely time in his life. He was overwhelmed with fear because he had to face his powerful brother Esau and the very real possibility of losing his life. This is in reference to Genesis 32. And there was a good reason for his fear. Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright, the privileged position of the firstborn son. And now he was staring at payday. Then something strange happened. The night before the meeting, the angel of the Lord appeared to Jacob and they wrestled all night long. It was during that struggle that Jacob's hip was put out of joint. Jacob desperately wanted the angel of the Lord to bless him, and he did. But the next morning when Jacob left town, he was limping because of his hip. Don't miss this, he says. Jacob encountered God and left with a limp. Jacob encountered God, but left with the limp. I never hear this part when I hear this story. He says, those special times and seasons of struggle leave us, dare I say, wonderfully scarred. We are marked by God, and our limp, in quotes, is a reminder that we are human, frail, and weak. But it is also a monument to the grace, mercy, and power of God. Our limp is a trophy. It says that God carried us. It says that he is all we need. He is our source, our strength, our everything. This next part is so good. He says, I have come to believe that a Christian leader's greatest mentor is the dark, lonely times in which God marks our souls with that profound sense of our need for him. Perhaps as you read these words, you are right in the middle of a wrestling match with God. You feel as if God is taking you to the mat. You're being battered by circumstances, and you may be full of fear. You might be under some unusual attack by the devil or people being used by the devil. Maybe you're struggling with disappointment or discouragement. Hold tight to God during this time. Even when you don't sense the affirmation of his presence, cling to him. Absorb yourself in his word and hold fast to his promises. Keep crying out to him. Stay connected to and lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ. And by all means, keep a journal nearby and write down your feelings and thoughts, especially the lessons God is teaching you. Don't waste your spiritual equity. God is creating in you a greater capacity to know him and to love him more. You are learning what it really means to need him. God loves it when we know that we need him. This limp is your core credential as a leader. You are not alone. This is God's pattern and process. There are monumental wrestling matches in the life of every leader whom God will trust with his assignments. Man, when I read that section, I almost threw my book. Because remember I said earlier, I feel like he adds language to situations and experiences and perspectives that we may not talk about openly. And so I felt seen in that part because it's so true. In this next part, he brings up Psalm 42. He specifically talked about 1-3, but I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, "As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continuously taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowd of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, 'Where is this God of yours?' Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." The author says of the book, he says, "I don't know any leader who has not spent time in the parched, barren desert of brokenness. The withholding is necessary to create in us a desperation, a longing for the presence and the sustaining power of God." That's what the sons of Korah describe in Psalm 42, which is what we just read. Bible scholars believe that Psalm 42 was written while King David was on the run because his son Absalom was coming after him to kill him. The worship leaders, the sons of Korah, wrote a song of desperation, of brokenness. It says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, 'Where is your God?'" The author goes on to say, "This picture is compelling. Just like a deer that is out of place in the desert where there is no water, so David and his loyal friends were out of place. They needed God desperately. And I believe God wanted David to be in this place. Why? So he would know with every fiber of his being that his deepest need is always and forever God. I believe God uses brokenness as a tool to prepare you for the assignments he has for you. Brokenness is God's way of adding weight, supernatural substance to your life and the assignments that he gives you. If you don't have this sense of your inadequacy and his all sufficiency, you will lead with your own resources and ability. You will lose the awareness of your need." And I'll end with this last section. He titled it "The Mindset of a Godly Leader." The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's James 4:6. Think about that. God actually comes after the self-reliant, the proud, and gives his favor, grace, to the humble. It pleases God when you demonstrate that you need him. This is the attitude, the mindset of a godly leader. you run from pride and intentionally live and lead from a posture of dependence on Him. That's the only place to be. God's assignments involve changed lives, and He can only use you if your life has been yielded to Him. He says, I like this thought from Tim Kimmel. If a leader doesn't humble himself, he leaves God no choice but to humiliate Him. And he will because he must. The work of His kingdom cannot be left at the mercy of a leader who is wrapped up in himself. Well, did this chapter bless y'all as much as it blessed me? I hope so. I hope you have a new perspective on brokenness. I hope you understand how urgent it is. And I hope that you, even if you're not in a season of brokenness, that you intentionally focus on your dependency on the Lord so that He doesn't have to break you Himself. I'm going to wrap this up here. Thank you guys for listening to another episode. Don't forget to click the link in the show notes to join me for my upcoming content creator town hall and to learn more about my Purpose to Podcast program and join my new cohort that's going to be starting in a few weeks. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.